Hi, I'm one of the High Priests of Khonshu Rey, and I have the sacred privilege of providing you, the Loony Listener, with a podcast honouring Marvel's very own Moon Knight. So join me and a host of others at Into the Night, a Moon Knight podcast. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or support the show by becoming a Patreon member. Into the Night, a Moon Knight podcast. It's time to get your Khonshu on.
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCAU podcast. This week we are covering Deathstroke's Knights and Dragons.
Which is possibly the most bizarrely named film that we will cover.
Oh, it's the name is strange, and then when you find out what it's in reference to, it gets worse.
It does not give you a good sense of the film you're about to watch.
I mean, the idea of Deathstroke accidentally landing in a fantasy multiverse would actually be kind of
right,
interesting.
I thought it'd be like, I was really like, oh, it won't be the same Deathstroke as we always get. No, well, it kind of was.
I mean, to be fair, it is a different Deathstroke from the one that I've ever seen.
Yeah, also, I guess, so my history with Deathstroke in comics is not massive, but I did read the Christopher Priest run, which I think was around, which was one of the new revamps.
Right.
And it tells a lot of the same story, according to Wikipedia and whatever. It's not exactly the same, but it feels the same. Mm-hmm. Like, I do know at one point I had to break and come and read about all this, because
yeah,
I was getting a bit confused about who was whose kid. And so this feels like the Deathstroke I do know,
right,
and probably would have been a great introduction to start reading that. So because the way Christopher Priest writes, he's a bit not all over the place, but he assumes you have a lot of that knowledge. He's a great writer. He was responsible for making Black Panther really successful.
Yeah.
He did a long run on Quantum and Woody for Valiant, and then did this great Deathstroke. And yeah, so that's kind of, this is very much what I know about Deathstroke, so I kind of enjoyed it from that aspect.
Right.
But I do remember how confused I got with it. So he does have one of the most crazy families, I think.
Yes.
In terms of and I still think it's kind of, I know he's like, I guess he's one of the big famous villains, but it's just like, it's interesting to me that of all the people we've done who've got their own movie, I'd kind of almost expect more Green Lanterns, more Green Arrows, more Flash than before you start getting to Deathstroke.
I don't know.
That's always interesting, because it's just like, I know he's popular. I just don't know why he's more popular than, say, Penguin.
I think there's a few different things. Firstly, one, this is a production by the Bertolini production, two of the guys who did the CW shows, and probably, I've got to be honest, Deathstroke was probably the best.
Yeah, I
forgot
he was a big deal in Arrow. Yeah,
though obviously completely different from this version.
Yeah, no, I agree. That the Arrow Deathstroke is probably what led me to read the Priest Deathstroke when it came around. So I'm not disagreeing. You're right. That's why.
Also,
he does have that big tie-in with the Titans, and that was their big, you know, because the Titans cartoon is so popular.
Yeah, well, that too. The other thing it could have been is, and this is getting a little bit in the weeds, so this came out in 2020, which I believe was the original date for the Ben Affleck Batman, where Deathstroke
right.
was going to be the villain.
Right, so, right.
Because, now that could be me completely
no,
in the weeds.
No, it kind of makes sense. Why? Because you need such a lead time with animation.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense as well. Yeah, I guess because we're doing them so out of time from when they were released, it's hard for me to put myself back. Yeah, I never look at those things. So I have you.
As
have you to explain me.
No, I'm the same. I'm kind of like, it's very strange for Deathstroke Cat to have a solo film.
Yeah.
I actually don't think, because I don't think he's been the feature. I think there's maybe like a Lego movie where he's been the featured villain.
Yeah, I
he's
think
not
so.
Actually been used a lot in.
No. He's not used a lot. So it's kind of why it's interesting, and as I'm sure we'll get on to, because it is such a bizarre character, like history and slightly dodgy in some parts, that I think they did an okay job, like, honestly. So, but the,
I have one thing that I found slight, and I'll kind of address this before we get to the plot itself. Basically, because he's the... I don't know if it's purely because he's the main protagonist in this film, but they're playing this as Deathstroke, almost the only... It's the same problem, quite frankly, I had with Netflix's version of The Punisher. It's, yes, he is a psychopathic murderer, but he has a code, and that means that what he's doing is okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's... It's so comic book. It's just crazy.
We also have that annoying thing that, that movies insist on doing now of, here, we're going to show you the end first.
Mm.
Which is Deathstroke washing up on a beach, battered to heck.
To be fair, it's not just comic book movies that do this. This is a standard sort of movie trope.
And then we cut to earlier, it doesn't tell us this is a... Like, it didn't even do the thing it's meant to do, which is, like, 3 days earlier.
Yeah. I found myself a bit out of time with some of the bits of this as well. I mean, luckily you have growing children to sort of, like, anchor it with.
Yeah. So...
And also, like, lest we... I mean, might as well, I'm just going to go straight in to the at the sort of the beginning bit, like when he's having sex with Lillian, is it Lillian?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if that was like rapey or not, or like it just felt really strange. It kind of like came from nowhere. It's like, oh look, he's having sex now.
Well,
which just always seems a bit strange in an animated film. I know it shouldn't necessarily, but you know
the way it's hinted. Well, it's actually this. So Slade is talking to his partner, Adeline Kane, Addy. He's saying that he is in another country doing business. And he just so happens to... and it's basically that it's hinted that she doesn't... She always gets concerned when he's away because he had an affair, even though he wasn't dating her at the time, or it's they were on a break or something, and, and he hooked up with someone else. I wonder if that's going to be important to the plot.
Super important. But it was this kind of weird, like, I don't know, it just felt strange the way they did it, but
And then Slade speaks over his phone to his son, Joe, and reads a book to him called Knights and Dragons.
Yeah, I was like honestly, when this book came out, I felt betrayed because I already knew that we are not going into a fantasy world, as I thought from the title, and that... it was just going to be, oh, we just needed a Deathstroke movie and we wanted to give it a cool name. Like, because really they could have just called it Deathstroke Origins, or, you know, Deathstroke Family. Death in the Family. Or something. You know. Because they like that
Death
title.
Death in the Family is 2 weeks' time.
They like that title. They like Death in the Family, Death and the Family.
Death of the Family.
Death of the Family. Crisis in of... Deathstroke's family. There's so many options open to them.
Death of the Family is the one where Joker comes back wearing his face as a mask, isn't it?
I'm just saying, like, you know, given how many times they reuse Crisis
and
in
family.
Titles and family, we could have had a bit of a more... Anyway, the title's stupid. This is a Deathstroke family film.
So, Slade attacks a base. So he attacks the base, takes out a load of guys, and goes, "Yes, General, I know that you're going to do a coup, and the president hired me to kill you. But you see, he was a bad guy, so I have actually killed him. So do your coup and behave."
It was a little bit. I mean, we're on morally very dubious here.
Because famously, virtually every coup in history has been blood. Oh yeah, that's right. There's only been like one coup in the last 50 years that hasn't resulted in hundreds, if not millions, of deaths.
It's crazy.
At the same time that this is happening, a man called the Jackal, who, when you look him up on Wikipedia, it comes up as a version of Ravager.
Okay, I just assumed it was a person.
But the Jackal attacks in Addy and Joe in their home and beats up Addy fairly severely and kidnaps Joe. Meanwhile, Slade gets picked up by Billy Wintergreen, who is voiced by Colin Salmon. Which seems like, because, I mean, there is a little bit of kind of non-voice actor casting in this film. I mean, it's Michael Chiklis. Yeah, it seems like, I don't know if I think Colin Salmon's a bigger star than, or not, but I always thought, it seems like a very small role for him.
Yeah, maybe, but I guess it probably didn't take up a lot of his time either.
Yeah.
I thought he did a good job. I love Wintergreen.
So, as he is returning home, we get a flashback to Deathstroke's origin. He was a soldier, he was experimented on. It basically says he volunteered for a trial, not entirely knowing what it was, or it left him quite damaged, without any seeming benefits. He and Addy both left the military, or Slade left the military before Addy.
Yeah.
He then his powers kicked in.
He somehow gained an eye patch in that time.
Well, I think I think he had the eye patch when he was already under trial.
Mm-hmm.
So it's happened before he was enhanced, which then explains how it's, because that's always the idea, isn't it, that it's actually his wife rips his eye out or something like that.
I can't remember how it happens in the comic, but I know this is one of the changes. So.
But yeah, basically it's the eye is the only thing that his powers never heals. Except this time, well, of course it didn't heal it. It was already gone.
Yeah.
It's at this point he went to Cambodia. As we mentioned, he met someone else whilst he was in Cambodia and then ghosted her.
Yeah.
This is our hero, just a reminder.
Yeah. Well, he's also an anti-hero. I'd say anti-hero.
Yeah. So he arrives home, has absolutely no idea who the Jackal is. Or hints that he doesn't know who the Jackal is.
Yeah.
Though apparently when he then confronts the Jackal, he says, "Well, we talked previously." So it could be that he's just lying. Addy confronts him over the fact that he's Deathstroke. And Slade goes to confront the Jackal, who reveals that he works for Hive.
Yes, there are bad organisation there.
Yep. As he confronts the Jackal, two other mercenaries arrive, one of whom is Bronze Tiger, and the other is a generic woman with sword who I'm sure is not important in any way, shape, or form. Doesn't even get a name. Maybe her name should be Fridge. I don't know.
Let's not. But yes.
The way she's treated, it's, she's not even... She's villain fridged. She's fridged to motivate a villain instead of a hero.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whilst, on the other hand, Bronze Tiger gets stabbed through the arm and de-armed.
Yes, that's pretty cool. I have to say, that was a pretty cool sequence.
So, the Jackal has someone in his employment holding a knife to Joe's throat. Deathstroke attacks the person whilst at the same time stabbing the Jackal. And as a result of the attack, Joe is bleeding out, but is saved. Though they say, but his vocal cords have been ripped apart, so he can't talk.
But that's kind of okay, because...
Well, if we find out later, it's okay, but...
Well, it's not okay, but, I mean, yeah. It's better than it could be, because he has another way of communicating.
Yes. So... Yeah, so Slade is then chased off by Addy in the hospital. Bronze Tiger, we see, save the Jackal, who... Actually, one thing to give them credit, they didn't do that thing that so many films and series insist on doing with a mask character. At some point, we've got to see him without the mask.
Mm-hmm.
They actually do keep the mask on the whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, literally the only kind of indicators we have about what this man looks like is what his daughter looks like.
Yeah.
Addy starts to train again. Joe seems to display powers in a school that he's been put in. And it's 10 years later.
Yes, well, because we need a jump to the for the kids.
Yep. So, Deathstroke saves it's basically a save the cat moment. Slade he rescues a bunch of women that were being trafficked whilst defeating a very powerful fighter called Bora. I don't see why this was put in here other than to have another fight scene.
That's pretty much why.
I mean, it feels like this was the original opening scene and then they rewrote the script but never got rid of it.
Yeah.
So, Slade gets a call from an operative of Hive calling themselves the Hive Queen.
Which is a cool name, but, you know, you've always got to worry about Hades generally.
Yeah. Oh, that's one other thing I forgot to mention. The Deathstroke suit in this is weird. He has a pupil in the eye of his helmet. And also it kind of looks like he's got an orange jaw rather than like a solid mask. It's weird.
I mean, I thought it was alright.
I mean, it's other than that, it's fairly generic. Think of Deathstroke, yes, that.
Yeah.
So the Hive Queen then reveals that they've captured Joseph.
Which is a huge deal, because, you know.
And, yeah. Slade then goes to talk to Addy. She tries to convince him, no, I'm coming with you. And then, when he absolutely refuses, she kisses him good luck, which turns out to be important later.
Yeah, very important.
So... Slade starts to work his way up the food chain of Hive. Also, at some point, he claims, oh no, I destroyed Hive in the 10 years, and then that turned out to be man-cow-ploppy. sorry, I'm trying to think of creative ways not to swear.
There's swearing in the film, we should point out. Mm-hmm. There's more swearing in the film than there is in the podcast.
Oh, there's swearing and there's violence and it's all... This is definitely a 15 or an 18.
Yeah. Yeah, what is it, actually? What is it rated?
I don't know.
Probably 15.
I'm just trying to figure out... So just to put this in perspective, if you're listening to this on Saturday the 19th of August when this comes out, this is being recorded at 10 in the morning on the 19th. This is going to be the fastest turnaround I've ever done for an episode because I'm going on holiday tomorrow. So eventually Slade works his way up to Colonel Kapoor, who claims to have nothing to do with Hive until he calls them.
Yeah.
This leads Deathstroke to Bronze Tiger, who is working in a foreign country. I can't remember if they say who it is. I think it's one of the generic foreign countries that DC uses so that they don't...
Yeah. So they pick up some random ones, yeah.
Yes.
Indeterminate foreign country.
So, Bronze Tiger and Deathstroke fight. Bronze Tiger reveals Jackal is alive. He basically used me to reorganize Hive and put them back in the shadows. And I was fed up of working for him, so I'm now working as a mercenary. And Deathstroke then takes out the mechanical arm that's replaced his old arm.
Yes.
And cool. Bronze Tiger tells him, oh, the person you're looking for is on these islands. And then as he leaves, Bronze Tiger tells his men, no need to shoot it at him. Where he's going, he's going to die.
True, though.
Mm-hmm. So they arrive at the island. Billy Wintergreen is flying a super advanced plane.
Yes, it's a cool plane.
Yes. So Slade then, the second he jumps into the ocean, gets attacked by men in diving suits whilst sharks circle around them.
It's cool, though.
I'm surprised that I didn't cut myself on all the edginess in this film.
Yes.
This is... it's a 15 or 18. It's written by a 13-year-old, though. So... The second that Slade gets on shore, Lady Shiva is waiting for him.
Yeah, just hanging out, waiting. To attack him, though.
Slade goes, oh, you've never been bested in hand-to-hand combat. And it's too early in the film for us to show how devastating you are in a fight.
Yep.
So I'm just going to instantly surrender.
Which is, yeah, interesting.
So...
But that's alright, because he wants to, yeah.
Yes. So, Slade is taken to the Hive Queen. She seems to react when he unmasks. They then show him Joe, say... He's displaying superpowers.
Yes.
Though different superpowers from the ones you were displaying.
Yes, because apparently these are passed on in the blood now.
Because, yes, metahuman, like, being injected like that made you a metahuman, which somehow made you into an X-Man.
Wow, I don't know about an X-Man. but he just has different powers. I mean, like, you know, you could say that about all superheroes.
Yes.
I mean,
but generally, if you're the son of a person with powers, you tend to inherit the same power.
Not always, though.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So, also, the Hive Queen insists on calling Joe Jericho. So, Deathstroke manages to break Joe out, takes out dozens of guards, and then just as he's about to get picked up by Billy, it turns out that Joe was working with the Hive Queen.
Da, da, da.
And the Hive Queen is his sister!
Yes. Half-sister, strictly.
Half-sister, but... yes.
Well, it's important because she's a different ethnicity.
Yes.
She's, yeah.
And then the army of Hive lights up Deathstroke and he falls off a cliff, bleeding into the ocean.
Yeah.
So he's definitely dead.
Definitely.
Because, famously, when a person falls off a cliff, horrifically damaged, they always die in comic books. It's not like you have to have a body or anything. Mm. But apparently Hive is not genre savvy.
Well, I mean, you know, just because we know that's going to happen doesn't mean they're going to stop doing it.
Yes. So, thankfully, Billy Wintergreen and Addy are able to find Slade because when Addy kissed him, she put a tracker in him.
Yeah. Totally normal.
Written by a 13-year-old. So...
I mean, it's in the comics as well. Well, is that? I don't know if this bit is actually...
Well, I mean, it's written... who actually wrote this? J.M. DeMatteis.
Yeah, who's an incredibly famous comics writer. Very
right.
Good. So
okay.
Let's not slate him too much.
Okay, I'm sorry. It is very comic book.
I mean, like, yeah, but there's, like... Look, I could say the same about a lot of Batman stuff.
Oh, yeah,
so,
absolutely.
You know, I mean, like... I don't think this is any worse than any other weird comics-y things.
Yeah. So we then get Rose Wilson's backstory. Just Rose, they call her in this. So,
well, yeah, because strictly she's not a Wilson.
Yes. So Rose is Lillian's child, shock horror, and her mother died in a car crash. But Rose had Slade's powers, and actually Slade's powers.
Yeah.
The Jackal then saved her, brought her up, and Rose and Jericho are really, really close. Despite the fact that, by all indications, they met, like, 5 years ago.
Yeah, but... they're young, and 5 years is a fair chunk of their lives.
No, fair, fair.
So, and...
because they're both kind of late teens, early 20s.
Yeah, but you can also get very close to someone in 5 years.
Yeah.
I think you're being overly... like, considering I'm usually the one who's overly harsh on these, I think you're being overly harsh about...
Well, you're being nice about it, so it's my turn to be overly
yeah,
harsh.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But, like, yeah, I think it's fine that kids in their teens get very close. Especially if, you know, like, she can feed him all the stuff about his dad. He's had this very traumatic experience. She can replace it with kind of nurturing. Look, I'm your sister that you never knew about, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, that's one thing that they kind of establish yeah. is... and that's... because this gets turned on Rose at some point. This idea of, oh, no, you were just manipulating Joe. You're no better than... than anyone else. It's like,
it's a little bit true.
It's a little bit true, and it does. There are parts of the story where you are going, is she manipulating him or not?
I mean, like, she does, but because he's younger and she can play on some of his trauma.
Yeah.
But yeah, but she's also being manipulated, and it's a confusing time. It's a confusing family.
Yeah. So the two of them are also pretty much planning to turn on the Jackal as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And they hint at this already.
Yeah.
So Jericho is still trying out his powers, but he really is struggling to kill people. Oh no, how bad. Until suddenly he ends up completely going the opposite, giving in to the powers, and almost hurts Rose.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, we cut to Addy and Slade and Billy. Addy has managed to hack Hive, which...
I mean, I do like how competent she is.
So. Oh, no, it's...
You see, that's
out of all the characters, Addy is the best character in this.
Yeah, she's pretty standout, like, because it's not a normal role you'd get for her.
She's kind of portrayed as, even though she is pretty much the only normal human here, outside of maybe Shiva.
Yeah.
She is highly competent. She isn't just generic, perfect, strong female. She does have flaws as well.
Yeah, yeah. She's just a very capable fighter and whatever. But, you know, genuinely have a lot of respect for her and for them having her as a character.
Yeah. So we see Jericho training. Slade, this whole time, is basically going... But I'm not the bad guy.
Yeah, I mean, you're not the good guy, but yeah, okay.
So we then have three terrorist attacks happening simultaneously. Mm-hmm. So a plane deliberately crashes into the Golden Gate Bridge, bombs go off in the Capitol building, and there is a military-style attack on Times Square. And the president is on Air Force One.
Oh, yeah, I actually forgot he was in it.
I wonder...
What... It just seemed, like, so random, like, to move from this, like, not smallish family story to then, oh, by the way, the president's there.
And there's been three terrorist attacks on the United States at the exact same time.
Yeah.
And it happened whilst the president was on Air Force One in the air. So Air Force One is the only plane in the sky.
Of course.
And has no, like, jets accompanying him to maybe guard him. For specifically... Yeah. The sort of thing that happens. Also, for some reason, it's 2020. You can get, you know, before November, you can guess who the president's based on.
Yeah.
Literally, the only thing that's different is the skin color.
Well, yeah, but that's, you know, whatever. That's a fair difference.
Yeah, it's a natural skin colour. So, Hive tries to attack Air Force One, only to be interrupted by Deathstroke, Addy and Billy Wintergreen arriving. This exact moment is when Rose and Jericho turn on the Jackal, only for it to turn out that the Jackal had planned for this exact situation.
He's a good planner.
I do like the fact that Rose goes, oh no, I knew you were manipulating me the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Believable or not, I like that she says it.
Yep, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
So, just going through this all. So the original plan was that Jericho was going to mind control the president so that Hive would control the world. Once it becomes clear that that's not happening, they go, oh, we'll just kidnap the president instead. And
I mean, it seems to me that if you're going to kidnap the president, you should have a long-standing plan to do that. It shouldn't just be, let's do it instead.
Yeah, it's the backup plan.
Yeah.
So, meanwhile, Shiva is ordered to kill Jericho and Rose. And so it gets all confusing. So basically you have three things going on at once. So Billy Wintergreen is fighting all the other Hive Jets.
Yeah.
Addy and Deathstroke are fighting a bunch of goons on top of the plane. And all the drama's happening with Rose, Jericho, the Jackal, and Shiva. All the main plane, all the other planes are destroyed, and Air Force One gets away, and Slade and Addy are invited in, and a fight breaks out between Slade and Addy and Shiva and the Jackal. The Jackal has learned his lessons from his last fight with Deathstroke and has upgraded. Rose and Addy team up to defeat Shiva.
Yeah, that's kind of sweet, because like, obviously there could be some tensions there, but...
And it is revealed that, you know that mercenary you killed, the female one that was no name and had nothing interesting about them?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the Jackal's daughter!
Yay.
And that's why the Jackal is so determined to kill Slade.
I mean, yeah, so and he has to...
And that's also why he targeted Slade's family.
Mm-hmm.
Which, fair enough.
I mean, I've seen worse reasons to do things.
Yeah. So, the Jackal and Deathstroke fight, including fighting through the air because they both fall out the plane. Jericho, Addy, and Rose work together to safely land the plane. Deathstroke's mask is completely destroyed, though he manages to strap a bomb to Jackal, which it's heavily implied kills both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Rose and Jericho go back to Addy's house, and Addy invites Rose to join the family, which is nice.
It is nice, because Rose clearly needs it. And
oh, I.
But, you know, it is nice.
And we cut back to that what we saw at the start of the film, which is the bruised and battered body of Slade Wilson starting to heal up.
Yes, because like, we have to know that he's not dead.
Yep. And I hope you enjoyed that, because this is the only part of this story that there is no sequel and absolutely no hint that there's going to be a sequel.
Yeah, this is it.
And this is the... Yeah, so that was Deathstroke, Knights and Dragons, which was certainly a film that exists. Actually, no, tell a lie. It's good fun. It's a good film.
I think it's... I mean, like, it's not an all-time a great film, but it's enjoyable. It's something a bit different. I think it does explain some of the very complicated stuff going on with Slade and his family. I mean, because we do see them, like you said, in the live-action CW one. I'm pretty sure he turns up in some of the Titans, Teen Titans stuff.
Well, he's the main villain in the Teen Titans.
Yeah. So you
TV
get to
show,
see
so.
Why he's not super happy when his, you know, son is killed, etc., etc.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was...
Ahead of our next one.
Yeah. So the next film that we are meant to be doing is Death in the Family. Which...
It should be fun.
It should be interesting.
It won't be fun. It'll be terrible, but like, it'll be fun to slam it.
Because the this is one of these pick your own films, mm-hmm. interactive short films. I think is the official term. So I think there's something like overall there's about 90 minutes of footage, but it's. I think it's like the 7 different endings or something like that.
Oh, great. Looking forward to it.
Yep.
So, yes. So, that's... So, that'll be soon.
And then after that, the next film we're doing is another Batman film, which is Soul of the Dragon.
Interesting.
Which is dedicated to Denis O'Neill.
Okay.
And then Justice Society World War II, which is the second film in the Tomorrowverse.
And, okay, yeah, Tomorrowverse, that's right, that's what it's called.
And features a Flash story where he accidentally ends up in a time period that he shouldn't.
Does it have dragons and knights?
No, it's in World War II. And it is actually in World War II, to be fair.
Okay, that's great.
And then the next two films are parts 1 and 2 of Batman The Long Halloween.
Okay, that'll be fun.
Which is meant to be in the Tomorrowverse, and it is an adaptation of...
Of the comic.
I believe that this has Jensen Ackles as Batman and I can never pronounce his name properly. David...
Dalmat.
The guy who played... But he plays Calendar Man in this film.
Oh, okay. Of course. Of course Calendar Man would be in Long Halloween. Well, I need to read it.
He's an important character in the comic. They basically kind of play him as a Hannibal Lecter-style character.
Okay.
That's the next 5 films we've got coming up. So we will be back in 2 weeks with whatever version of Death in the Family we are most comfortable discussing.
Yeah, that should be interesting.
Yep. Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We are at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email in to us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at DCAUpodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 international license. Thank you for listening.